Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We believe God wants to speak into your life through this message. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook at CelebrationEDM. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, Thanksgiving is all about thanking God. In fact, that's the history of Thanksgiving. Excuse me, that Thanksgiving goes back to early settlers that thank God for this new country. And then every year it became a celebration of thanking God for the harvest. And it really speaks to the attitude that we should always carry in our relationship with the Lord, one of gratitude, one of honor, one of living our lives with a full sense of appreciation in our heart. That's what we're to do with our salvation. That's how we should carry that in our lives. Communion is an opportunity to give thanks as we remember what our salvation cost and what it took for us to have eternal life. That's what communion is about. And we're going to take that in just a few minutes. And those who are watching online, we welcome you to get some elements to go that you can use to take communion with us. But 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You see, when it comes to the breaking of the bread, when it comes to drinking the cup, it was all about remembering what the Lord did for us for salvation. And on that first communion, when Jesus broke the bread and when Jesus passed the cup and he did all of that, the Bible says he gave thanks. You see, Jesus was giving thanks because of the fact of what would happen when he went to the cross. But today, when we take communion, when we give thanks, we're giving thanks for what we have received in life because of the cross. He was looking ahead. We're past the cross. Now we're celebrating what difference it's made in our lives. We're taking the bread to remember that his body was broken so that ours could be made whole. You know, that's what communion is about. It's remembering the fullness of what salvation has brought to us. Jesus was broken so that we could be made whole, so that we could receive healing physically, emotionally, mentally. We don't have to live a broken life. You know, sin and the journey of life can bring brokenness to us. But remembering that Jesus's body was broken for you and I so that we could be restored, that we could be made whole, that we don't have to carry the ramifications of brokenness throughout the rest of our lives. God wants to heal that. God wants to restore that. And then we're going to remember, of course, the cup. And the significance of the cup is that it's given to us as something to remind us of the blood of Christ. You know, the scripture says it's only in the shedding of blood that there's forgiveness of sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. There had to be a death to pay for it, to redeem us, to buy us out of the prison of our own sin, if you will. So we take the cup, we remember the blood, but it's remembering everything that it means to us. It's remembering that it's about us being forgiven. It's remembering about us being cleansed and made guilt-free. It's remembering about the fact that it takes the shame off our life. We're made right with God, that we're accepted into his family, and remembering the fullness of what that represents and what Jesus has done for us and how he's completely changed our heart. So I want to invite you to stand. And you can begin to get the bread out of the little, there you go, that's the sound, that's what they heard. In the upper room, man, First Communion. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive this communion together, Lord, we take this bread. We take this bread remembering that it took your body being broken for our lives to be made whole. Father, we're thankful that even though sin breaks us, even though our choices and the choices of others can be so damaging to our life, that Lord, that you, God, can make us whole again, that you, God, can restore us, that we don't need to go through our entire life in brokenness because Jesus was broken for us. And so, Lord, we take the bread. And now, Lord, we take the cup. And we're reminded that salvation is only in the blood of Christ. That there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved except the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, it was your blood coming out of an innocent, shameless body that paid for our forgiveness, that lifts the shame off of our lives, Lord, that restores us in right relationship with you, that cleanses our heart and makes us right before God. Father, we remember that our salvation is only found in the blood of Jesus, and we take the cup. You may be seated. You can keep those cups with you, and then at the end of the service, as you exit, there will be a garbage container that you can put those in. You know, when we take communion like we just did, it creates a greater awareness of the presence of God and all that God's done for us in salvation. Thanksgiving is about awareness, isn't it? And whenever you say thank you, whenever you express thanks, you are putting your full attention to the benefit and the blessing that has come to your life. And a lot of times, you know, we practice Thanksgiving horizontally. We practice it within our community. It is part of our culture. And of course, people even make fun of the fact that Canadians are, you know, so polite and always saying thank you and sorry and things like that. But here's the deal. Today I want to really focus on what communion means, and that is our thanksgiving vertically and the importance of expressing our thanks to the Lord for the things that he does in our life and realizing that as we do that, it just accentuates our awareness of all that God is doing in and through our lives. You know, even a weekend like this where it's Thanksgiving, it just heightens the value of being thankful to us and how important it is. In fact, we use that expression a lot, don't we? Thank God. Oh, thank God. Thank God. We use that so often in our lives in so many different ways. You know, it'll be anything from going to a picnic and it's a sunny day. Oh, thank God for this weather. Yay, we got great weather for this today. Thank God. Thank God for some blessing that's happened in our life. The timing of maybe something that took place in your life. And you're like, oh, thank God. Just in time. This came through for me. You know, or something happens to somebody and you're like, oh, thank God you're all right. You know, you went through this, but thank God you're all right. People that show up and you're like, oh, thank God you're here. People that leave, and thank God they left. But what about thanking God? That's what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He gave thanks and then proceeded to serve the communion. Well, I want to have a look today with you at the importance of our gratitude specifically towards the Lord and how thanking God impacts your life today. First of all, thanksgiving affirms who God is so that I will trust him. It affirms who God is so that I will trust him. Giving thanks is about acknowledging the uniqueness of who God is, that he is the creator of life. He's the author of life. We only exist because there is a God who created us. He's eternal and he is love. But John 1:3 says this, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Pretty clear, isn't it? Everything that we have in life comes because of our creator who provided it for us. He's the author of life. He's the creator of the universe. Everything that we see in nature was God's idea. It wasn't a man-made intent by any means. And that order and that design and that intricacy certainly did not come out of chaos. It came out of a designer. Job, in the book of Job, goes through a chaos of his in his life where he ends up losing everything. And eventually, of course, God restores it all in his life and even double. But in that moment, when he's going through that, he has his friends that come around him that want to help him, and they want to try and explain to him what's going on. The problem is that they were like what I would call religious legalists. And that is their view of a relationship with God is this: do good, get good, do bad, get bad. In other words, when you mess up, man, God is there to bring his judgment. And so towards the end of the book of Job, one of his friends is speaking up, a guy by the name of Elihu, and he starts going on about the situation, and he's speaking like he's got God all figured out, and he's condemning in his words towards Job because he knows this is the way God is, this is the way God operates. So Job, you must have done this, and you must have done that. The gist of his conversation is, I kind of got life all figured out, and I got God all figured out. That kind of a person, if you will. You know, we can be that way as well. We can be people who think we've got life all figured out, and we can think we've got eternity all figured out, got God all figured out. You know what? I've heard both believers and people who don't have Christ in their life speak with that same attitude. An attitude of presumption, an attitude of arrogance, an attitude of know-it-all, if you will. So in the midst of this guy talking like this, I think God just kind of gets to a place where he's like, okay, time up. You've had enough. And God begins to speak in Job chapter 38. And God is addressing this guy who thinks he's got it all figured out. And here's what he says. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That's a fancy way for saying, stupid. Now he goes on. He says, now gird your loins like a man. In other words, man up. I'm going to ask you something. And you instruct me. This is hilarious. This is God telling this man to tell God, about all he knows. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Wow, there's a humility pill right there, right? This guy's like, Mr. Know-it-all, I got it all figured out. And God turns to him and says, when I created the foundation of the earth, what were you doing? Tell me if you've got understanding. In other words, you keep mouthing off like you got it all figured out. Why don't you tell me about this? Why don't you answer this one question I asked you? Who sets its measurements? Since you know. Or who will stretch the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now, what's the message that God is giving this guy? And that is, it's simply this. You and I were never meant to have God all figured out. We're only asked to trust him. We are only, and in fact, I think it's pride to even think that we can figure God all out. But we are asked to trust him. Thanksgiving is about acknowledging and reminding yourself about who God is so that you will trust him in all things. It's when we remember who God is that we are empowered to trust him. When I remember his nature and his character and just the awesomeness of who he is, you know, many times in the Psalms, David is praying and expressing frustration in his life and expressing that he thinks God should be doing this and that right now, and he doesn't seem to be doing it, and it's frustrating me. And so he's doing his best in the Psalms to express what it feels like when he's going through these things, and he's asking God's questions, and he's saying, God, it seems like you're standing far off. And he says, why are you hiding from me? God, have you forgotten me? I mean, have you gone to sleep? Are you like taking a nap? Have you rejected me? Why are you hiding your face? Why are you withdrawing your hand? In one verse, he says, why am I mourning the oppression of the enemy? In other words, he's saying, listen, God, it seems like I'm on your side. We're trying to advance the kingdom, but the enemy seems to be winning over me. Shouldn't you be doing something about that? He's frustrated that he doesn't have it all figured out. However, over and over throughout the Psalms, David talks about living his life in a posture of trust towards God. It's like he never answers his questions. He never comes up with, okay, I got it figured out. Now I know what God's doing. Now I know what, he never gets there. He never answers those things. But he does speak to how to walk with the Lord through everything going on in his life when he talks about the subject of trust. Over and over, he speaks about it. Psalms 9 and verse 10, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalms 13 and verse 5, I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice with your salvation. And finally, Psalms 22 and verse 4, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and they were delivered. And in you they trusted. And I love this last part. And were not disappointed. You know what? It is not about us figuring it all out on every occasion and everything that goes on in our life, or even taking a posture in our relationship with God of, okay, I'm going to figure all this out, you know, theologically or whatever. But it is about trust. Yeah. It is about standing in the midst of everything going on and going, God, I know you're still faithful. I know you love me. I know you got a plan for me. I know you got a future for me. So I'm going to trust you with what I'm going through. Listen, when things don't make sense, when things seem unfair, when things look out of control and unjust, God is still on the throne and will not disappoint you if you'll put your trust in him. Thanksgiving reminds us of what God has done and what I can expect from him. You know, when we remind ourselves of our past, it's the predictor of our future. We can remember what God has done in our past, and it gives us foresight as to how he'll come through in our future. Psalms 103 and verse 1 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Excuse me, I need water. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And then David begins to list them. He forgives my sin. He heals my diseases. He redeems me from death. And he crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I just love the spectrum of this. How that David doesn't just, you know, focus on one thing and just talk about maybe, you know, the redemption from sin and God's forgiveness and just stop there. But that he talks about a bigger scope of life of how God works within his life. And he begins by talking about the fact that he does forgive sins. You know, that God is a forgiving God, and he's showing that through Jesus. Listen, when it comes to changing your life, you can self-help your way into changed behavior. But even in doing that, you can still be trapped in shame, in guilt, in condemnation, embarrassment, and in the cycle of going back to old habits. Jesus doesn't just self-help you into a new person. He changes who you are on the inside. And he changes all of those elements about your past when he forgives you so that you get to live a brand new beginning in your life. He heals all of my diseases, David said. This is before Jesus has come. We're not even in the part of the Bible where Jesus is doing miracle after miracle after miracle to show who he was, that he was God in the flesh. And David is saying, he heals all of my diseases. Do you know there's enough Bible in the Old Covenant before even reading about Jesus to have a faith to receive healing and miracles into your life? He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. Another translation says it this way. He redeems me from the pit. You know, it speaks about how God can move our life forward even when we think it's over. Even when we're thinking we're at an ending. You know, life is the pits. We can feel like I'm at an ending. We can feel like, man, it's not going to get any better. And you can lose hope, and you can be in a place of discouragement, and it's like, I can't see a way forward. I can't see a way out. Well, I've got good news for you. He redeems you from the pit. He can take you from a place where you've lost hope and put you in a place of a fresh start. And then he crowns you with love and tender mercies. You experience God's favor and God's grace, his acceptance, his blessing. And you know what? Maybe you feel like your life is in a pit right now. Maybe at this time you're looking at your life and you're feeling like everything's like an ending and losing hope. Maybe your career has ended. Maybe you're in a bad place in marriage or even a divorce and you feel like, oh, this just feels like such death, rejection, betrayal, and nothing seems to be working for you. But thank God, He's the God who does not leave you in the pit. He redeems you from the pit and He takes what looks like an ending and turns it into a new beginning. Listen, you are not at your ending. You're in a bad season, but I promise you, there's a resurrection to a new life, that there's a new start. There's a new beginning that's coming your way, and you're going to experience God's crowning of love and tender mercies as He moves your life forward, as you're able to go, man, that was a dark time, that was a difficult time, that was a hopeless time, but boy, am I ever living in a different time right now. Why? Because you experienced the God who redeems you from the pit. He fills my life, the Bible says, with good things. So we go from the pit to a life filled with good things. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's about honoring the fact that our lives are filled with good things. You know, we certainly live in a country where we get to enjoy an abundance of good things. Comfortable homes, gadgets that we can't figure out, unless we get a 12-year-old to explain it to us. Comfortable cars, quality of life that we enjoy. But you know, God fills your life with good things. And it's not just the material things. How many of you know something? Marriage is a good thing. Thank you. Family is a good thing. Friends are good things. Yeah, we heard a lot about that with the testimonies of thankfulness. Purpose in life is a good thing. Having faith and hope for your future is a good thing. You know it's a good thing because if you've ever been without it, that's a bad thing. Faith and hope is a good thing. Direction in life is a good thing. Wisdom is a good thing. Understanding is a good thing. And having Jesus in your life is a good thing. He fills your life with good things. You know, thanking God for all that He has done sets your expectation for what He's about to do in your future. It's so good to think about what God has done and then to be able to realize, okay, I've got a future where there's more. Thanksgiving is all about that. Remembering all that God has done, filling your life with faith for your future, thanking God for your past establishes your faith for your future. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that He has done. You know, it's so important that we show gratitude for all that God does, because without that gratitude, we open our lives up to pride. Pride, because what happens is we're maybe thankful about all that we have in life, but we just see it as coming from ourselves and we leave the God part out. Pride is where we lift up our opinion above the word of God. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humility listens, humility follows. Pride is the celebration of what you did without acknowledging the God part. Gratitude acknowledges the God part in what you did. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. He who gives you the power. You know, there's so much about your life that you didn't choose. There's so much about you that is just because God just decided, this is how I'm going to make you. Your gifts, your personality, your capacity, your intellect, your DNA, your five senses, all of these things, God put them in you. He's the one who gifted you. He's the one who empowered you and then gave you a passion to do the things that you do. Thanksgiving is about not just acknowledging our blessings, but acknowledging that it is God who has helped us to get to where we are today. One more thought about it. Thanksgiving is my attitude towards the Lord that secures my joy. Secures my joy. You know, when we're thankful towards the Lord for all that He's doing and done in our lives, it just keeps us in an attitude of joy. Keeps us in joy. Thankful people are joyful people. It's just the way it is. It goes together. In fact, there's a psalm in the Bible. Psalms 100 is called a psalm of thanksgiving. I'm going to read it because it's brief. But you know what? Inside of the psalm of thanksgiving is a lot being said about joy. Psalms 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Aren't you glad we had a great team here today helping us to worship God with gladness? Love it, love it, love it. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Listen, your thanksgiving towards God is what keeps you in a place of joy. But not only that, it protects your attitude. Thanksgiving towards God for your life, for everything that you have, for what God is doing in your life, all of that protects your attitude from things that will steal your joy. Our thanksgiving protects us from things like greed, coveting, discontentment, envy, jealousy, comparison, gossip, complaining. You know, when those things start to come into your life, they will steal your joy. They will steal your joy. Celebrate what God has done for you. And when you do that, you get to keep your joy. If I'm thankful for what God has given me, then here's the focus of my life. I'm going to make the best of what God has given me rather than setting my attention on something I see in somebody else that I thought I should have. Thankfulness celebrates who God made you to be. One of the things that begins to happen when we stop being thankful is we just begin to compare ourselves to others. When we stop being thankful about who God made us to be and the opportunities that are before us, the abilities that he's placed in us, our attention goes off ourselves onto others, and we can fall into this trap of comparison. We begin to look at what others are able to do and their accomplishments and their skills, their talents, and what they have and their accomplishments, all those sorts of things. And then we make judgments, because here's what we do. We look at others through rose-colored glasses, and we see their strengths, we see their victories, and we see their blessings, but then we look at ourselves, and we see our weaknesses, and we see our losses. And then we make a comparison to the two and wish that we had something we don't have and wish that we were somebody that we are not. One of the most freeing things in life is to appreciate who God made you to be and the destiny that he has for you, so that you run your race instead of envying somebody else's. Don't minimize what God is doing in your life. Don't discount the blessing that he has on your life by comparing it to somebody else. Instead, be thankful for who God made you to be. Be thankful for your gifts. Be thankful for your capacity. Be thankful for your abilities, your uniqueness, your responsibilities, your contribution, your calling, your purpose. You see, when you're thankful for those things, here's what you'll do. You will make the most of who God made you to be rather than, you know, comparing yourself and envying somebody else and what God made them to be. You will make the most of your life if you are in gratitude about all that God made you to be. Stop trying to be somebody that you're not. Instead, just learn to be the best of who God made you to be. Then be thankful for who you are and enjoy it. Enjoy who God made you to be. Thankfulness keeps our attention on the good things that God is doing in our life. And when we do that, we get to keep our joy. You know, too often, people struggle with joy in their life. People just struggle, to be happy. In Deuteronomy, it says that it's a curse to be blessed by God and then not even be aware of the fact that you are. And people can struggle to be happy and be down and talking about how bad things seem to be for them. And, you know, the truth of the matter is they're just unaware because of not being thankful. They're unaware of just how much blessing there already is on their life. Unaware of how much God has already done. They're down, they're not happy, But they have a place to live. They have food when they go home. They have clothes on their back. They have an income. They have friends and family who love and care about them. What if they took a moment to stop in their unhappiness and to give thanks to God for what they do have instead of focusing on what they'd like to have? It changed them. You know, we just went through a 4-week series on mental health. Do you know that one of the greatest things that you can do for your own mental health is to be thankful? To be thankful. Sometimes I've heard people talk about having a thankfulness journal and being intentional about writing 3 things every day in that journal they're thankful for. Why? Because it's just for their own mental well-being, their own thought process, to take a moment and stop and go, hey, there's good things going on in my life. Rather than leaving their mind in a place of discouragement and depression, all the rest, stopping and acknowledging and giving thanks to God for the good things that are in your life. Why? Because it resets your perspective and it helps you keep your joy. I want us to all stand as we take time to pray. Because I want to do what the scripture said that we read earlier, where it said, talked about giving thanks for all that God has done in your life. I'm gonna pray a prayer with you. And as I pray that prayer, here's what I'd like you to do. I'm gonna cover different aspects of your life. And I'm gonna mention specific things. And when I mention them, think about them. Think about them. In your own heart, be like, amen, God, thank you for that. Amen, thank you for this in my life. Let's do that. Let's pray together a prayer of thanksgiving to thank God for all that he has done. Would you just bow and join me in this prayer? Father, we're gathering before you on this Thanksgiving weekend to specifically say thank you to you. Thank you, God, for all that you have done in our lives. Lord, thank you that as we remember who you are, that, Lord, it empowers us to trust you. You're the God who said that you would give us a future and a hope. And so, Lord, we trust you with our future, and we carry our hope in our hearts because our lives are in your hands, and we trust you. Father, you said, remember all that you have done. And Lord, as we do that, it builds expectation for all that you will do in the future. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that we have. Thank you, God, that we have a place to live. We have food. We have clothing. We have income. We have the necessities of life. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a blessed country. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives, that, Lord, over the years, we've experienced your faithfulness. Times when we thought, how are we going to get out of this pit? This seems like an ending, and you brought about a new beginning. God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for opportunities. Thank you for new starts in our life. Thank you for help in times of trouble. God, we want to thank you for who you are and how you have made us, how you have designed us, the uniqueness of each and every one who's in this room. God, thank you for the abilities on my life. Thank you for the skills on our lives. Thank you for the talents on our lives. Thank you for the capacity to learn and to grow. God, thank you for the people that are in our lives. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. Father, we're so thankful that we get to be a blessing to them and they to us. Thank you for the support that they are to us in times of need. And thank you, Father, that there are people in our world that we can count on. God, we're so thankful for your promises and the future that you hold for us. Father, thank you for direction. Even in times where things seem unclear, you give us direction. Thank you for protection. Thank you for health. Thank you for provision in our life, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the future and hope that you hold for us. And we are so thankful, Father, that you watch over our lives. Not only that, not only do you bless us, but you promise that that blessing goes to 1,000 generations. And we're so thankful for that. Father, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful that you sent a Savior, that we are not lost, that we are not left without hope. We are not stuck in our sin, but we are forgiven and we are adopted into your family. We are filled with your Holy Spirit and we get to live a life with a new beginning in it because of Christ. And we are so thankful for that. With our heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer. The Bible says, forget none of his benefits. And David's first thing that came out of his mouth, the very next scripture was, he forgives your sins. You know, God is not here to judge your sins or your choices. He's not here to punish you for what you've done, hold it over you, so to speak, for the rest of your life. Here's what he did. He took that all on himself when he went to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he bore the judgment. When Jesus went to the cross, he took the punishment. And so he removes it off of our lives so that he can show us his forgiveness and his mercy and then give us a brand new start in life. He restores us in relationship with him through Christ. And if you've not experienced what it means to have guilt and shame and condemnation and regret, all of those things lifted off of your life through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that's what salvation does for you. God forgives you, but then he gives you a brand new start, a brand new heart. He lifts all of that. He frees you to a new life where you can live in relationship and fellowship with him. I want to pray a prayer right now for you who may be saying, you know, I've not experienced that yet. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're watching online and you say, well, man, that's never happened in my life. It can happen right now with a simple prayer that done in faith, where we trust God with our lives. And I invite you all to pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross to pay for my past. I ask you to forgive me and I invite you into my life and I confess you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for a new beginning in a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening with us today. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.